You're listening to Drop of Inspiration, a Young Living podcast. Join me for leadership lessons, conversations with Young Living influencers, and an inside perspective on our company. I'm your host, Celeste Rosenloff.
We're here in the little village of Yarsa. There's 404 residents. This village was leveled 100%. The devastation is more than most of us could comprehend. But our whole goal here is to help rebuild this village. My goal is when we finish here, we'll have the people trained, they can move to the next village and build it, and the next village, and just keep going. Amongst all the death and the destruction, there's a peaceful home. Through the foundation, we can make a difference. We can change the outcome for people around the world.
That was audio from a video featuring D. Gary Young, founder and chairman of the board of Young Living, talking about the company's global philanthropy efforts, specifically those in Yarsa, Nepal. Today, we are sharing our conversation with the director of global philanthropy, Greg Larson, where we talked about the impacts of Young Living's philanthropy efforts around the world. We caught Greg right before he left for Uganda with some Young Living members to go on service trips throughout July with the D. Gary Young Young Living Foundation. Here's our conversation. Hey, Greg, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good.
So before we jump into our conversation about the Young Living Foundation today, would you just kind of introduce yourself to our listeners real quick?
Sure, not a problem. I'm the new executive director of the D. Gary Young Young Living Foundation, and I've been with Young Living literally for just over a year. 13 months. So started with Young Living in promotions, but what drew me to Young Living in the beginning was the foundation. For a while, I've wanted to shift careers into more of a nonprofit career and a purpose-built career. So the foundation attracted me to Young Living, and then 9 months later and 4 months ago, here we are. So it's been a good ride.
Yeah. Now, I mean, of course, the foundation is like this amazing part of Young Living. You get to work with, you know, incredible people and do a lot of good in the world. Can you tell me kind of what you've been up to lately?
Sure. So the foundation's been very busy lately. This past spring and winter, we were in Ecuador finishing up a few homes for families of the academy, as well as participating in the graduation of the second graduated class of the academy. The Rebuild Nepal project also had its first service missions earlier this year. We've now completed 4 service trips there in Yarsa, Nepal. We attempted a couple more, but just logistically we couldn't quite make it happen. So we're excited to get back in October and November and December. And then we have been supporting our partners in Uganda. In fact, when y'all are listening to this, we'll have completed 2 service trips in Uganda this summer. So we're there all July. It's great.
Yeah. Now, also we had convention. We had a podcast episode about, you know, what the foundation did at convention. But for those who haven't listened yet, can you give just like a quick hit of what of the highlights of convention for
man.
The foundation?
So many highlights. So first and foremost, our team put together a phenomenal booth in which we had as close to a life-size replica of the facade of the Young Living Academy. So you could get a feel for that. On that, we actually had images of new students at the academy who were in need of sponsors, and happy to report that all 24 students received full sponsorship.
That's great.
That's awesome. Our members are amazing. We also had representatives from every one of our projects. So we had Drew Colley there from Soul Hope and Carrie Segner there from Healing Faith. Ben Cooley and his team were there for Hope for Justice. Subhash, our country manager for the Rebuild Nepal project, he was here. So the members got to know the projects firsthand. That was a huge highlight. We raised just under $1 million, which kudos to our members. They heard the call, they responded. And one of two of the biggest highlights was Ben Cooley from Hope for Justice. Thursday morning during Gary's Revolution, Ben gave literally a 30-second pitch on Hope for Justice and standing up for human trafficking and those who are suffering from human trafficking. He brought the room, 5,000 people, to their feet, and I think that really kind of created a great momentum. And then we celebrated it with the Diamond Dash and the Color Splash. So that was just a fun run, culminating in giving away 3 motorcycles just before the Carrie Underwood concert. That was done because of Scott Schuler's desire to support Gary's vision in rebuilding Nepal, and he and some fellow riders rode some motorcycles and gave them away. It was great.
Yeah, it's been incredible to watch the support from members of the foundation. I think that they are just as excited about the work that the foundation is doing as many of us in corporate. Like, it's great to see that it's not just us trying to get people to be involved, but they are involved in there with their whole hearts, which is incredible.
They truly are. I hear it more often than not that the foundation is the why. And many times, especially at convention this year, a number of members approached us saying, we didn't even realize there was a Young Living Foundation. Mm-hmm. I now have a purpose to go build my business. I came to convention looking to kind of understand it better. And now they have a vision, a why, and a purpose behind it. So we are pleased to be that kind of a catalyst for everyone.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Now, you and I, we've talked about this idea of fulfilling the needs around us. Mm-hmm. And I would love for you to talk about how the foundation helps people, helps our members do that.
So many, I guess the best place to start is really our vision or our hope is that we inspire everyone, employees, members, people who know us, to just look for the opportunities to do good in the world, right? But that world doesn't necessarily have to be Uganda. It doesn't have to be Nepal. We don't have to leave our country or really even our community to look to do good. The foundation is built around empowering people to defy their limitations, and Gary's vision is to give people those opportunities, right? Well, that's what we hope we do. We hope that the messages and the actions and the opportunities that the foundation is pursuing, even if they're global, that you take that and that we all translate that into, maybe I can't go to Nepal, but I can go to my neighbor's house. Maybe I can't serve the academy in Ecuador, but I can go to my child's school, or I can go to a neighboring school who maybe doesn't have the same funding as my child's school, and I can volunteer and support and go help children learn how to read, or, you know, pursue math to a greater degree, whatever that may look like, that you are actively seeking those opportunities and serving wherever you are.
Yeah. Now, I want to get into how the foundation helps people do that in just a minute, but I want to give people a little bit more information about how the foundation partners do that. For example, Carrie Segner, she had a personal experience with malaria before going on to establish Healing Faith, which is all about malaria prevention. And so real quick, here's her story.
For me, it was very personal. The reason our heart went out to all the moms that we were meeting who had lost children or had very sick children from malaria. Our youngest, who was at 2 at the time, was infected with malaria. And as a mom holding him and just seeing his weak body, and we were able to catch it early on. We were able to get him the treatment he needed, and we knew, you know, he was going to be okay. But it's just such a scary thing to hold your child in your arms, and you want to do everything you can for them. And luckily, we had the ability to do that. We were, you know, have a lot of privileges that we've been given in life, and we didn't want a mother to have to hold her child and watch them die just because based on where they were born in life and what they had access to. So that was our personal connection, our why.
Okay, Greg, so can you talk about how the other partners of the foundation, that the foundation works with, and how they lift up people locally?
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of the foundation, right? So we start with Gary. He was in Ecuador building his farm, and he saw a rundown school serving 40 children, and it just didn't sit well with him, right? And he knew that something else had to give. So he began to build what is now the Young Living Academy. Then you have examples of Lataya Abdul for African Hearts, who himself was a young man lost in the slums of Kampala. But through the reach out of other individuals, they gave him an opportunity to come up. And he is now he has a bachelor's degree, he's a social worker, and he established African Hearts to replicate his story with as many boys from the slums as possible, and now expanding, trying to find ways to do the same thing for girls. Drew Cawley, the Cawleys, they just saw videos on YouTube. His wife, Asher, she had seen this YouTube video of jiggers, and just it hit her. And she spent a number of years actually researching what the right solution was. And that's how Soul Hope was founded. It wasn't just, oh, I'm going to go give them a shoe or here's some money. They all personally had something that hit them, and they didn't just sit idly by. They purposefully went and said, we're going to do something about this. Some of us do it differently, but these folks rose to the occasion, and so they are all inspirations to all of us, again, to serve where you are, or to go react to that call.
Yeah, something interesting about many of our partners, we aren't just going in and, you know, building them houses and then leaving. There seems to be local infrastructure in place with many of these projects, so that, you know, whether it's people are employed or people are heading up, you know, locals are heading up these projects or whatever. And I think that's a really interesting aspect of the foundation and the partners that we've chosen.
So quickly, I want to play part of our conversation at convention with Soul Hope's Drew Colley, where he talked about the impact locals have on the work.
Yeah, we have a little over 50 people on staff, 50 Ugandans on staff, that work everywhere from tailors and shoemakers that make the shoes that you guys, a lot of Young Living distributors, cut at shoe cutting parties when the worldwide shoe cutting party happened last November. And so tailors, shoemakers, we have doctors, nurses, social workers, and just several other people that make up the team. So it's Ugandans helping Ugandans. There are a few Americans there that help facilitate things, that help the way that things flow, but primarily it's Ugandans helping Ugandans.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, for sure. So in every project that we're involved in, whether it's our project in Yarsa, Nepal, or Ecuador, or all the our partner projects, every last one of them is creating jobs locally. Every last one of them is putting an economic stimulus in there into that village or into that area. So for example, the Segners, who we heard Carrie's story, they are hiring on a regular basis local Ugandans to go and actually perform the outreach in the villages. We may go on a service trip and they have other people who come and join them as volunteers, but they have a small labor force that is going into the village and teaching and educating them about malaria prevention, offering to hang nets and going from there. And they've just opened a malaria center, so now they can grow their labor force even more, and Soul Hope's doing the same thing. Like, everyone is finding ways to put the locals there first, rebuild Nepal, where we are in Yarsa. Members of the village are actually working now for the foundation in not only building their own home, but in building out the homes in the community and learning about the bricks and the brick making process, and with the intent that we're going to be able to go to another village and kind of keep that going, right? So it is a sustainable message.
Yeah. Now, I would like to dive in a little bit more about why it's important that we have local support, whether it's in Uganda or in Nepal or Utah, right?
Yeah.
Why does it matter?
So it matters because, again, one of the Young's philosophies is we offer a hand up, not a hand out. And when you look at just even studies across NGOs or non-government organizations, and really trying to do good, it's less about just giving someone something. It's more about how do you create it so that they can take care of themselves? How do you create an economic force? Because really, the way to end, so if we take a broad brush and we say we want to end poverty, well, you have to create an economy, right? It takes an economy. It takes somebody offering a labor force. It takes somebody earning some money and putting that money back into the economy. So that's why it's so important, and that's why all these projects, it matters that they're not just saying, hey, here's food. So for African Heart, for example, here's food. Boys in the slums come and have one meal a day and call it good. That's beautiful. But those boys who need more than food are never going to get that if African Hearts hadn't said, when you're ready, we have a transitional home. And in that transitional home, you're going to get a base education to get you ready to go to formalized school. And then in formalized school, you're going to be ready to go to university and start to give back. Currently at their school, they actually have a math teacher who was a boy they rescued from the slums 11 years ago.
Oh, that's incredible.
Right? So it's the full circle of hope, and it's the full circle of not just saying, here's a dollar, good luck, here's some food, I hope you're not hungry tomorrow, right? It's truly giving them hope.
I think, too, something that was running through my head when you were talking about that is personal empowerment on that individual level.
And I know that that can be a buzzword, especially in our industry, but I think the foundation really, that's...
It's the epitome,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's our mission is to empower, and true empowerment comes when you have choice, and choice only comes when you have some education or access to education, and that only, like, everything kind of cycles back to that sustainability model and creating opportunities.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I want to talk about how, you know, many of our members are really fortunate people in terms of, like, I mean, I don't want to make assumptions, obviously, but I think they have something to give, which is their personal empowerment. But how can we help them be empowered to become involved with these groups? Like, what are ways people can get involved specifically with the foundation?
Oh, wow. That answer is so many facets. So first and foremost, our members are definitely blessed. Whether they are just starting their journey or they've reached the summit of Royal Crown Diamond, right? Mm-hmm. They've worked hard, and through that hard work, they've been blessed, and they have an opportunity to help someone else out, right? Wherever they are and with whatever that means. So beautiful thing is, from a foundation perspective, your involvement really is one of so many different layers, right? Mm-hmm. We're working with Amazon Smiles. So you can choose Young Living Foundation. If you shop on Amazon all the time, you can choose us as a beneficiary foundation. Take that a step further. When a member places an order, they can round up their order to the nearest US dollar. Right now we're receiving about $50,000 a month in spare change.
Wow.
It's phenomenal. And if you take the numbers and say, wow, if everyone did this, we would be closer to about $200,000 a month.
Wow.
We would quadruple what we're getting.
Yeah, that's
right?
A lot of pocket change, like couch cushion.
I mean, you think about it, like how you can get a couple dollars out of your couch cushion or out of your car seats, right?
Yeah.
And so rounding up is an amazing way to get involved at a very minimal, with minimal effort and with minimal personal sacrifice, because many of our members are still in that journey, right?
Right, totally.
Where a couple dollars does make a difference, and it does for everybody. You take that up, and when possible, then you start to make monthly commission donations, right? So from your commission checks, as soon as that becomes more of a regular, and it's a point where your family's taken care of, because you should take care of them first, then you can start to give back. Then you start to make those. And you can start to look at sponsoring a child, and then you can start to look at going on a mission, a service trip with us. And all those things, it just kind of escalates, right? And everything in due time and everybody doing what they can makes a huge difference. So we're working on other ways. What we're really excited about, just continually giving tangible, low, and I don't say this in a negative way, but low effort ways that members can be involved, because any effort makes a big impact, and it compounds just like the same effort they make with their own business. Mm-hmm. If you do little efforts all the time, all of a sudden their business grows.
Yeah, well, and too, like, sometimes that little effort you make, that monthly, you know, commission donation or rounding up or whatever, those are really sustainable ways. I know for me personally, I can't always make some big effort to do something, but every month I can be relied on to do something small, right?
Yeah.
And it makes giving back so much more approachable and doable for many of us who are really busy, who maybe we have fluctuating needs and incomes or whatever. I think that's really great that from whatever level you're at, I think the foundation has a way to meet you.
That's a perfect way of saying it. Perfect way of saying
thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about what's coming up for the foundation. You touched on going back to Nepal. What do you have in the hopper? What's going on?
Oh, wow. So many things, so many ideas. Right now it comes down to, we really do want to focus on finishing the project in Yarsa, Nepal. Not because we want to be done with it, but because we want to be able to go to the next step, right? We want to apply our learnings in the right ways. And talking with our country manager, Subhash, there are still many villages who are even deeper need, even than Yarsa was. And Yarsa was in quite a bit of need. So to do that, we have trips coming up in the fall. We have a very select group going in October, and then we've opened up applications for November and December, and then we'll begin a 2018 application process fairly quick as well, because really at the end of the day, if we have a consistent labor force, we'll be able to finish that up, which would be awesome.
Yeah, get those people
hands
over,
right?
Their
we need we need some hands, we need some bricks laid, we need some homes built. And here's a beautiful thing about the people of Nepal, it's all about community for them. Right, so literally, no one or very few people will move into their home, even if completed, until everyone's home's completed. Mm. So that's another like reason why we just want to go and finish, is right. so that the community can really celebrate that together yeah. and enjoy moving forward together. We've opened up applications for Ecuador and for Uganda 2018, meaning so in early February we'll have our graduation for this year. The dates always change and they fluctuate quite a bit, but we'll have that in early February, and then and part of that service trip will be serving the community. We haven't quite nailed down exactly what that looks like yet, but we will be serving the Chongon community there in Ecuador. And then we will be offering, obviously, service trips again to Uganda this next year. So all those are open right now. So that's what's, you know, what's kind of right here right now. And then we're working on, as Gary mentioned, you know, we're in the early stages of understanding what family service trips look like. Like, I want to make sure that it meets the needs of the families, that it meets the needs of the foundation and what we're doing. It's mm-hmm. not just a family vacation that happens to serve. I mean, yeah. hey, even if that's what it ends up being, that's great. But we really want to impact those whom we serve as mm-hmm. well as the families. And then many other opportunities. We're daily getting requests for partnerships. We're daily getting requests for needs. So we're looking at all that mm-hmm. and charting the course forward. It's there's a lot going on.
Cool. It sounds exciting. It sounds like there's a lot to look forward to.
Definitely.
Well, is there anything else that you want to add before we sign off here?
You know, the thing that I would add is that, you know, we, those of us that are currently working directly with the foundation, we are so inspired by everyone's desire and willingness to be involved in the foundation. We're inspired by the kids that we serve. Right, we're inspired by the homes. Like, we're inspired by everything that is going on, but more importantly, we're humbled at the opportunity to carry this forward. There's been, since 2009, right? There's been such tremendous work done, and there is a massive torch that's been lit. And our team is just humbled at the opportunity to be the vessel that carries that torch forward. And we really can't do it without the support of the members and of Young Living employees. And it truly is a together effort. And we're honored, we're humbled, and we're appreciative of everyone's effort to support that.
Great. Thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to me today, Greg. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Celeste.
If you want to learn more about the foundation and its projects, head over to younglivingfoundation.org. On there, you'll find a description of each project and how you can help. While you're online, visit youngliving.com/podcast to find old episodes, comment, and subscribe to Drop of Inspiration. This episode was produced with the help of Caroline Foster. Thanks for joining us today. I'm your host, Celeste Rosenloff.